KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, it's mostly clear and 56 degrees in Atlantic. We look forward to be sunny today with a high near 82. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your Trane home comfort specialist dealer. In area news, one person was injured during a rollover accident Monday morning in Page County. The sheriff's office reports 27-year-old Christy Dawn Gordon of Essex was transported to the Shenandoah Memorial Hospital by Essex Fire and Rescue. After the pickup, she was a passenger and went out of control and rolled over and came to rest on its stop. A woman was wearing her seatbelt during the accident, which happened at around 9:35 a.m. on Highway 48. Officials say the pickup, driven by 33-year-old Nathan Gordon of Essex, was traveling south on the highway and had passed a slower-moving blue van. Christy Gordon said she told Nathan that the van was gaining on their pickup. He responded by reportedly having tapped the brakes on his truck and pulled the vehicle to the side, where it went out of control on the gravel shoulder. The vehicle slid into the ditch and rolled. The blue van, meanwhile, continued past the crash without stopping. An investigation determined the pickup left 155 feet of skid marks on the road before it entered the shoulder and left the road. There was no contact made with the other vehicle. Damage from the crash amounted to $3,500, and there were no citations issued. News time is 8:01.
Last week, Mark became the proud father of twins.
Look, pumpkin silk diapers.
Like any new father, he wants the best for his girls. So he also became the proud owner of a Trane central cooling system. It keeps Mark's whole house cool and comfortable, no matter how hot it gets outside.
Doesn't that feel good?
And since Trane systems can also lower energy costs, there's more for the college fund.
Ivy League, of course.
When they say expect more from a Trane, they back it with over 90 years of industry-leading innovation, engineering, and manufacturing excellence. Hi, this is Bob Jacobson, owner of Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your area Trane dealer. You know the true Trane difference? You, your family, your comfort, and what it means most to us is providing better, healthier air for those that mean the most to you. Shouldn't that be reason enough to call me now at 877-838-8580? Call me now and let me show you how you can save money with a new Trane home comfort system. 877-838-8580. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a Trane.
Police in Lenox report the Adams County Sheriff's Office received a report last Friday about a person allegedly making threatening phone calls and text messages. Following an investigation, deputies issued an arrest warrant for 27-year-old Ruth Leeson Graham of Lenox after finding she allegedly sent the messages, which stemmed from a family dispute. Adams County deputies and Lenox police took Graham into custody at around 9:30 p.m. Friday and charged her with harassment. Graham was taken to the Adams County Jail and held on a $300 bond. Cass County Auditor Dale Sunderman reports ballots for the November 5th, 2013 city elections in Cass County for the cities of Oneida, Atlantic, Cumberland, Griswold, Lewis, Marney, Mesita, and Wyota are currently available at the Cass County Auditor's Office. Absentee ballots may be requested by registered voters who will not be going to their assigned voting sites on Election Day. The polls will be open on November 5th from noon until 8 p.m. for all cities in the county. If you're unable to go to the polls on Election Day, you can vote prior to that day by paper ballot, either by mail or in person during normal business hours at the auditor's office at the Cass County Courthouse. The deadline to request an absentee ballot to be mailed to you is Friday, November 1st. Absentee ballots may also be cast on Election Day at the auditor's office from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Shelby County Emergency Management Coordinator Bob Seibert says his agency will begin monitoring the local fire danger potential beginning this week. Twice weekly updates will be provided by the EMA staff in Shelby County with data supplied by the National Weather Service forecast products, the Storm Prediction Center, and close monitoring of local conditions. The updates will be provided to help residents in Shelby County determine if it is safe to conduct outdoor burning. Seibert said the county sees an increase in fire activity every year in the spring and fall when residents start igniting their burn piles or prescribed fires on CRP land to meet management objectives. Oftentimes, those fires are ignited on days when weather conditions are less than favorable. When the burns are started, they can cause escape fires, which put lives, environment, and property in danger. The Shelby County Emergency Services Association, in coordination with the local fire chiefs, are asking residents to call the Shelby County Emergency Management Office to report your controlled burning projects. When you call in, you'll simply be asked the size of your project, a number you can be reached at, the estimated start and stop times of the planned burn, and the Shelby County Emergency Management Office will also ask that you provide your local fire chief with similar notification. An electronic copy of the Fire Danger Rating Board can be found at www.shelbycountyema.com. The purpose of the system is to visually let the public know when the conditions are safest to carry out burning projects. The system is not a permitting process or authorization to burn. It simply lets you know if conditions are favorable. The Shelby County Cooperative System will allow the authorities to dispatch emergency resources immediately on a report of a smoke when the fire danger is determined to be high or extreme. On high fire danger days, fire resources will be dispatched and a decision will be made on whether it's safe to continue the burning. If the fire chief or his designee thinks conditions are not safe, they may extinguish the fire. On extreme fire danger days, all blazes will be extinguished unless a permit or waiver has been signed by the chief of the local fire department in Shelby County. Well, Governor Terry Branstad and Lieutenant Governor Kim Reynolds on Monday marked the start of National Manufacturing Week at their weekly news conference, highlighting the contributions made by manufacturers and their employees through a proclamation and launching a tour of various facilities throughout Iowa. Facilities they toured on Monday included Agra Drain in Adair and Bowman Incorporated in Denison. The tour continues this week with stops Wednesday morning in Clarinda at the Lyle Corporation, also in Red Oak at Red Oak Manufacturing. At 12:30 p.m. on Wednesday, Reynolds and Branstad will visit the Atlantic Bottling Company. And then at 2 o'clock that afternoon, they'll visit Quality Machine of Iowa in Audubon. Police in Clarinda are issuing a reminder to residents about special parking restrictions that will be in effect this coming Saturday, October the 5th. And that's for the 2013 annual Southwest Iowa Band Day Jamboree Parade. No parking will be allowed on these streets in Clarinda on Saturday from 7 a.m. until noon. They include the 100 through 800 blocks of West Main Street, the 100 block of East Main Street, the 100 block of North 15th, the 100 block of East Washington, the 100 through 300 blocks of West Washington Streets, 24th Street or Cardinal Drive from Garfield Street to State Street in Clarinda. Police Chief Keith Brothers says his department appreciates the cooperation of all the citizens in removing their vehicles from the parade route on Saturday or prior to Saturday's event. And vehicles that are not removed from the parade route by 7 a.m. Saturday will be towed at the expense of the vehicle's registered owners. If you have any questions about the parking restrictions, you can contact the Clarinda Police Department at 712-542-2194. Elsewhere in Western Iowa news, a 32-year-old Storm Lake woman has been accused of neglecting her mother and stealing from her. Police say Erica Larios hadn't been talking to her mother for a kidney, or hadn't been taking her mother, that is, in for kidney dialysis, and had been spending her mother's Social Security payments on herself. Police say Larios had removed her mother from a nursing home in Rock Island, Illinois, and brought her to Storm Lake. Larios is charged with felony dependent adult financial abuse and dependent adult abuse causing bodily injury. State authorities have removed Larios' mother from the woman's care. And in other news from around Western Iowa, a Northern Iowa woman has been given jail time for stealing thousands of dollars from the welding shop where she was a bookkeeper. The Sioux City Journal reports 36-year-old Rebecca Botchin of Osage was sentenced in Dakota County District Court to 60 days in jail and 5 years of probation. She was given credit for nearly 40 days already served in jail. Botchin had earlier pleaded guilty to 5 counts of theft by unlawful taking, and she'll need to pay restitution. The woman was accused of stealing more than $67,000 from New Ideas Fabrication between October of 2010 and February of 2012. Prosecutors say she wrote checks to herself and illegally transferred money out of the company's accounts. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, there may be no end soon to the budget standoff on Capitol Hill that's resulted in the furlough of some 800,000 federal workers today. The Republican-led House has tried to include its emergency bill, a spending measure to defund or delay part of the health care law. Democratic senators have repeatedly rejected those GOP efforts, and Majority Leader Harry Reid said the Senate will say no again when today it looks like the latest stopgap measure comes from the House. Millions of Americans without health insurance are now able to shop around for a health plan. Today is the first day that insurance exchanges, part of the new health care law, are being made available. Consumers can learn what plan is right for them and what the premiums and out-of-pocket costs are. Analysts predict that overall sales for the car industry dropped 4% last month. That's because the Labor Day weekend was included in August sales and not sales for September. But Chrysler says its U.S. sales rose 1% in September on strong performances from the Jeep Grand Cherokee and Ram pickup. September was the company's 42nd straight month of sales gains. And finally in the news, a school district in northeast Georgia is considering arming each school with an assault rifle to defend students and faculty against a shooting. Yesterday, parents and teachers in Gainesville, Georgia, met with police to discuss the plan. The Times of Gainesville reports the would be accessible by fingerprint recognition, and only the school's resource officer would have access to the Colt 6920 rifle inside. News time is 8:10.
Part of making a major purchase is knowing what kind of service it'll require. For reliable home comfort systems, just look to us. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your local Train dealer. Bob Jacobson here. From major repairs, including new house construction, to seasonal maintenance, we can make your home more comfortable. When it comes to heating, cooling, venting, or plumbing your new home or existing residence, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating can get the job done right and in a professional, timely manner. How can I be sure? Because when you call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating, you'll talk with me, the owner, and I'm also the one who will be doing the work. It's my name and my reputation at stake, two things I don't take lightly. I'll do the work, and I'll do it right. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Don't put it off. Call me right now. 877-838-8580. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
In our funeral announcements, Maxine Bruner, age 91, of Atlantic, died Saturday. A gathering of family and friends for Maxine Bruner will be held today from 10 a.m. until noon, with a lunch to follow at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Doris Bloom, age 80, of Greenfield, died Saturday. Funeral services for Doris Bloom will be held on Wednesday at 2 p.m. at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. Jerry Walters, age 52, of Atlantic, died Sunday. Funeral services for Jerry Walters will be tomorrow at 2 o'clock at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Harold Akers, age 82, and Doris Akers, age 79, of Exira, died Friday. Joint funeral services for Harold and Doris Akers will be held Thursday at 10:30 at the Exira Christian Church. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has arrangements. Maxine Hansen, age 93, of Atlantic, died Sunday. Funeral services for Maxine Hansen will be on Thursday at 1:30 at the Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Lorraine Perdue, age 85, of Issaquah, Washington, died September 11th. A memorial graveside service for Lorraine Perdue will be on Friday at 10 o'clock at the Griswold Cemetery. Doon Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements. Bonna Gonzalez, age 62, of Guthrie Center, died Sunday. Funeral services for Bonna Gonzalez will be on Friday at 10:30 at the First United Methodist Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. Bernard Cox, Sr., age 91, of Tennant, died September 23rd. Funeral services for Bernard Cox, Sr. will be on Friday at 11 a.m. at the Altamont Baptist Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Charlotte Searles, age 66, of Phoenix, Arizona, died July the 13th. Celebration of Life Memorial Services for Charlotte Searles will be held Saturday at 10:30 at the Maple Grove Cemetery in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Ramona Richardson, age 85, of Coon Rapids, died Sunday. Funeral services for Ramona Richardson will be this Saturday at 11 o'clock at the First Christian Church in Coon Rapids. Odie Funeral Home in Coon Rapids has arrangements. Gregory Faustin, age 67, of Greenfield, died Thursday. Memorial services for Greg Faustin will be held at a later date. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Nicholas Johnson Reed, age 27, of Atlantic, died Saturday. Services for Nicholas Johnson Reed are pending at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. And Peggy Wiles, age 75, who is formerly of the Oakland area, died Thursday in Virginia. Services for Peggy Wiles are pending at the Recon Veith Funeral Home in Oakland. The news was brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.